The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing and asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So you show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are in the doctrine of the U.S. and prophecy. We'll pick up Roman numeral 6, page 2 of our notes this evening. All right, as is our practice before every Bible class, if you've not dealt with any personal sin in your life prior to class, now is the time to do so, so that we can profit from the study at hand this evening, truly as so intended. As believers, we continue to engage in personal sin. This gets us out of fellowship. How we get back into fellowship is application of 1 John 1:9, that which we refer to as the rebound technique. Sin, harmartia in the Greek, simply means miss the mark. When you miss the mark, sin, you miss the mark of God's righteousness, that is disobedience to His word in some form or fashion, expressed in the sin nature descriptions as so provided for us. And in order to deal with that experientially, we must acknowledge these things before God. Our intellectual honesty is rewarded by God as under grace. He forgives us of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness experientially. We are filled with God the Holy Spirit. And in this way, we are then able to apprehend the truth of doctrine undistorted by the sin nature. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start from a normal word of prayer. Father, again, thank you for another opportunity to study the truth of your word. We ask that you bless us with the enlightenment of these things to maintain our own spiritual stability, to stay the course, to walk the straight and narrow, so to speak, in Satan's world today. And in so doing, glorify you and witness regards to our thought, word, and deeds, in regards to our Christian life, all this via God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the U.S., United States of America, is revealed in prophecy in the Scriptures as we are dealing with. It is known as, in its most dominating term, as prophetic Babylon. The ideology of Babylon goes all the way back to the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. There we see the first instance recorded in regards to the human race trying to establish a one-world political religious system. A wall of the city and the tower to heaven is representative of these ideals. So, Babylon, which comes from the root word Babel, which means confusion, has two distinctive arms to facilitate and fulfill its ideology, and that is religious and political. In the remote fulfillment of prophetic Babylon, one must understand at that point in time in history, that the avenue taken to seek to establish the foundation and platform for a one world religious political entity to come about, and that particularly under the rule of the Antichrist, that there are two separate entities that have been utilized over the history of the church age to establish that platform. The religious arm is separate from the political arm in regards to prophetic Babylon. The religious arm had its start all the way back in the latter first early 2nd century A.D. under Constantine, that is Roman Catholicism. And hence, you must distinguish the political, economic, prophetic Babylon from the religious Babylon of being the Roman Catholic Church. We dealt with that, and we saw that the Babylon's address in Revelation 17 and 18 are dealing with two different but like entities in this vein, and that religious Babylon is to be distinguished from political Babylon in that regards. Another area that must be dealt with is that many still today interpret the prophetic Babylon as being the literal historical Babylon. That too must be determined as whether it's real or not. The language regards prophetic Babylon, we have seen in the passages that we read, do not pertain to historical Babylon, even close to it in certain degrees. And therefore, in deciphering the remote fulfillment of prophetic Babylon regards to its political or national entity, if you will, economic entity, one must distinguish it from historical Babylon. And that's Roman numeral 6. This section deals here, basically, I give you five clear distinctions between historical Babylon, what we know of her even as of today, and that which is described in regards to political Babylon being completely different. And first and foremost, we have A, BH, the acronym. I guess I can pull this up on our... Babylon Historical. First A, Babylon Historical was not, as underlined, devastated by the fifth cycle discipline, but was left intact. Its national sovereignty remained in terms of its identification and the ability to continue to reside in the land, to do business in the land, is simply was enslaved under the Medo-Persian Empire. That's in contrast to the political Babylon, point B, that is to be left completely devastated, left without inhabitant. We saw that Jeremiah 51:29. Again, we read these passages, but now we are dissecting them for specific details in regards to it. And 51:29. So the land quakes and rise for the purposes of the Lord against Babylon, stand to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitants, without residents. So historical Babylon has maintained, if you will, citizens throughout its history, as it is historical Babylon, obviously, is located in present-day Iraq. So there's one primary difference between historical and political Babylon. The second C, Babylon Historical did not permit Jewish exiles to leave before the fifth cycle. As Ezra chapter 1 Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, who was ruling over Babylon, the Jews were already in captivity in that regards. He was the ruler when they were finally granted release. In order to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, they were only stayed there for 70 years. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he might send a proclamation to all of his kingdom and also put it in writing, saying, "Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord of God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of all of the earth, and he has appointed me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah." It has all the language of another foreign ruler that is a believer. "Whoever there is among you, all this people, may as God be with him, then go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and rebuild the house of the Lord, the God of Israel. He is a God who is in Jerusalem. And every survivor of whatever place he may live, let the man of that place support him with silver and gold, with goods and cattle, together with a freewill offering for the house of God, which is in Israel." So, historical Babylon, they maintained the Jews in captivity, and it was Cyrus, under the Persian, Medo-Persian Empire, that granted them release. The Babylon political will allow American Jews to leave prior to the fifth cycle. Albeit as language has suggested, as we've read over recently, with some reticence, if not complexity in regards to leaving the country at any given point in time, that we are getting into the latter part of our history, going in especially into the tribulation, but they will be granted prior to this cycle, many of them, to go back to their homeland. That's the command that's given to them, to leave, to abandon prophetic Babylon. Jeremiah 50, verse 8, "Wander away from the midst of Babylon." Even the term "wander" kind of gives you the idea of, you know, just sneak out, slip away, get out of there, and go forth from the land of the Chaldeans. Be like, also like male goats at the head of the flock, lead others out with them. Verse 9, "For behold, I'm going to arouse and bring up against Babylon a horde of great nations from the land of the north," that being Russia. "And they will draw out their battle lines against her. From there she will take captive arrows, will be like an expert warrior who does not return empty-handed." The nuclear missile strike designed to annihilate. Verse 28, "There is a sound of fugitives and refugees from the land of Babylon." There are those who do heed the warning. You'll have angels that will be evangelizing as well as others during this period in time, to declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, vengeance for his temple. Jeremiah 51, 6. So we see a difference of attitude to a certain degree, obviously, of permitting, allowing exit from the country. 51:6, "Leave from the midst of Babylon, and each of you save his life." Verse 9, "We applied healing to Babylon, but she was not healed." The information in regards to its prophetic destiny and warning as a spiritual wake-up call is made available by certain adjusted Christians during this time, and obviously the evangelizing that will occur in the tribulational period, which will go largely unheeded. "Forsake her and let us each go to his own country." verse 45. Come forth from her midst, my people, and each of you save yourselves from the fierce anger of the Lord. And then Revelation 18:4, as we saw, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you may not participate in her sins, and you may not receive of her plagues. So historical Babylon enemies there came from the east, from the Persians, from the Medes. Isaiah 46:11. With respect to Babylon as the subject, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my purpose from a far country, to whom I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass, I have planned it, surely I will do it. Political Babylon, the enemies come from the north, as we've seen, Jeremiah 50, verse 9. For behold, I'm going to rouse and bring up against Babylon a horde of great nations from the land of the north. They will draw up their battle lines against her. From there she will be taken captive. Historical Babylon was a river in a desert. It was an area called Mesopotamia. Babylon political will become a desert by the seas. It's a total contrast. Jeremiah 51:13. So we know just from the historical location, we see the differences here geographically. Oh, you dwell by many waters, abundant in treasures. Your end has come, the measure of your end. Compare verse 43. For cities have become an object of horror, a parched land and a desert, a nuclear waste. A land in which no man lives and through which no man, son of man passes. You won't need to be sending in people to check things out after the fact. People stay away from it like it's got a virus or something. Babylon historical, has been inhabited since her fall. We know that. There's inhabitants there today. Babylon political will not even be visited following her fall, much less lived in. Again, Jeremiah 50, verse 3. If I read some of these a couple times, you have to excuse me. And four nations come up against her out of the north, another one documenting where the army come from to destroy her. It will make her land an object of horror. There will be no inhabitant in it. Both man and beast have wandered off. They have gone away. And verse 39. Therefore, the desert creatures will live there along with the jackals. As time goes on, century passes, some of the land will obviously be reanimated, if you will, and it will have certain wild creatures that will essentially come in and make their home there. You don't have people around. It's amazing how fast animals will move in. They've been noticing that through the lockdowns, people not out in the cities, and animals tend to show up that they don't normally see in areas they don't normally see them in. The ostriches will also live in it, and it will never be again be inhabited, that's by humans, or dwelt in from generation to generation. Verse 40, and as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah with his neighbors, declares the Lord, no man will live there, nor will any son of man reside in it. It will be desolate, just like the Dead Sea area is today, as God overruled their homosexual vice lifestyle. And then 51:43, for cities have become an object of horror, parched land in the desert, land in which no man lives, which no son of man passes. So that tells you no one will be exploring the country after the fact. And then as an aside, while we have here in our doctrine five sound documented reasons why historical Iraq is not the prophetic historical or prophetic Babylon of the last days, a thing I've had for some time, this one guy went in and he started checking it all out. And this particular person, Bill Greasy, that's his name, back in 2014, comes up with 60 reasons why Iraq can't be Mystery Babylon. And the first one he starts off with is the Jewish population issue. My people come out of her, whereas in present day Babylon, Iraq, Jews are essentially a handful. Now, under the historical Babylon, under Nebuchadnezzar, obviously there was a lot of Jews, but not in the remote future and destiny of Babylon. And the United States is that which holds the largest Jewish population basically in the country. Israel is home to the second largest, and Russia to the third largest Jewish population. That was of 2014. Now, how it's changed up to this point in time, I can't tell you. Then number two, he comes up with the deep water port city, the merchants being offshore, etc. That idea that they actually bring in import goods from other countries, utilizing sea merchants. And that is in the very town Babylon of Long Island, New York. There is a deep water port, not the only one, obviously. And then he goes on, and if you want to know what this is, this address is www.5doves.com. That's the website this is on. It's a key commercial nation. We've dealt with that. Engine of wealth for the world's economy. It's the principal commodities trading center in New York City, Wall Street, all that. United Nations, obviously, is located here. Kind of jumps here to 22 in this thing. Leading center of imports and consumption, the merchants that are crying over her demise, as we do not buy their products anymore. A manufacturing nation, merchandising and marketing. Hebrews, Jeremiah 50:23. See that one. How the hammer of the whole earth has been cut off and broken. The prophetic Babylon acts as a force in the last days internationally. Hence, trying to police the world. We've got our fingers in everything, in everybody's business. I mean, can't even take care of our own. How Babylon has become an object of horror among the nations. That's why you have a lot of the antagonism and hostility directed towards our country, because we meddle in other national affairs, and people see that. so known as the world's policeman, showing the flag, gunboat diplomacy. Isaiah 18, 1 through 2. The elegant, luxurious, refined, rich lifestyle, Revelation 18. He confuses Revelation 17 with 18 in his deal. So you have to obviously investigate these things when you look them up. Extremely wealthy, again, sensual, material lifestyle, materialistic lifestyle, Revelation 18. Highest living standards, entertainment, the music industry. There's probably not another bigger music industry. The next would be in Europe, Great Britain. And they don't go anywhere if they don't come here. It used to be, get on one of our variety shows. Nightlife, drugs, wasteful and extravagant, nasty population, land of immigrants. We saw that. Different heritage, has a mother nation, land of rebels in its birth, on and on. So I wanted to show you that. I put it in my file so if we ever did this doctrine again, I can go, look what I got. So there you have it. So if you want to see it all, you can look it up on his website. Again, www.fivedoves.com is the website. All right. To add in here, to kind of complete here, Roman numeral 6, to note the difference, and that we're not dealing with historical Babylon, with prophetic Babylon, is important based on certain theologies of different Christian groups concerning the millennium. There is a theological belief known as all-millennialism that the church itself brings in the millennium. And not until world peace and those platforms that kind of describe the understanding of the millennial period comes into effect will Jesus come back. In other words, until man gets their act together, Jesus ain't coming back. When we know it's completely opposite in that regards. It was in things that I read during our invasion in Iraq that the Bush family held to this principle. So, how much of that was motivating one's thinking, you never know. But when you don't have your doctrine straight, sometimes you do make some pretty stupid decisions in life. See? And they can cause things that are otherwise unintended. Of course, obviously, we didn't destroy them. God has a way of undoing a man's efforts to try to fulfill his plan for him. And all that is a form of self-righteousness that somehow a man has to fulfill God's plan for human history. Our world is filled with Christians that operate on self-righteousness. They give grace lip service, but only lip service, truly, when it comes down to their perception of life, etc., and God's intervention in God's hand in regards to controlling history and things of this nature. So, to have the correct doctrine is essential so that you can eliminate, through the process of elimination, certain other avenues which would be important in regards to historical events and powers to be of people that may be otherwise Christians themselves trying to follow Christian beliefs. It's been my perception that at least in the last half of the 20th century that Christians were not the best presidents that we've ever had. But anyway, that's just my opinion. And I ain't saying to vote one way or the other on anything, so we don't lose our nonprofit status. I don't want to bring that up. All right. Roman numeral 7. Excuse me for mumbling, but that's what my gifts got me doing tonight. Political Babylon and Tyre. We explained earlier on in the doctrine, you have to understand the use of symbols, figurative language, dual fulfillment of prophecies, and also certain things like types. A type is an accurate simile or description of something that is a type of something else, a shadow of something else. But it's not the real thing. And fulfillment is not through the type itself. So Tyre is a type of prophetic Babylon or political Babylon. Mostly because it was an extremely wealthy and affluent nation in its time. That is Isaiah 23. Look here. The oracle concerning Tyre, its ultimate demise under God's judgment for its evil, its debauchery, its degrading lifestyle. Well, ships of Tarshish, for Tyre is destroyed without house or harbor, is reported to them from the land of Cyprus. You Sidon, you inhabitants of the coastland, you merchants of Sidon, your messengers crossed the sea. Verse 3, and we're on many waters. The grain of the Nile, the harvest of the river was her revenue, and she was the market of the nations. Tyre being there in the Middle East, in the Mediterranean area. Be ashamed, O Sidon, verse 4, for the sea speaks, the stronghold of the sea, saying, I have neither travailed nor given birth. I have neither brought up young men nor reared virgins. When the report reaches Egypt, there will be anguish in the report of Tyre. Pass over to Tarshish, well inhabitants of the coastland. Verse 7, is this your jubilant city, whose origin is from antiquity, whose feet used to carry her to colonize distant places? Verse 8, who has planned this against Tyre, the bestower of crowns, to exalt others, to raise people up, set people up in power, things of that nature. Whose merchants were princes, whose traders were the honored of the earth, known also as the great merchants, the leaders of industry, desired by all nations to have their influence for their own economy and things of this nature. Verse 9, the Lord of armies has planned to defile the pride of all beauty, despise all the honored of the earth. Verse 10, overflow your land like the Nile, O daughters of Tarshish. There is no more restraint. He has stretched his hand out over the sea. He has made the kingdoms tremble. The Lord has given a command concerning Canaan to demolish his strongholds. And he has said, you shall exalt no more, O crushed virgin daughter of Sidon. Arise, pass over to Cyprus. Even there you will find no rest. Verse 13, we have associations here. Behold, the land of the Chaldeans. This is the people which was not. Assyria appointed her for desert creatures. They erected their siege towers. They stripped its palaces. They made it a ruin. Verse 14, well, O ships of Tarshish, for your stronghold is destroyed. Now it will come about on that day that Tyre will be forgotten for 70 years like the days of one king. At the end of 70 years we will not have the Tyres in the song of the harlot. Take your harp, walk about the city, O forgotten harlot. Pluck the strings skillfully. Sing many songs, recognizing his own influence in the music industry. They may be remembered. Maybe they'll find a CD or an old record player and a Beatles album later on. Who knows? You know, somewhere the remembrance. Oh yeah, I remember that. And it will come about at the end of the 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre. She'll go back to her harlot's wages and will play the harlot with all the kingdoms on the face of the earth. There's language that's similar, obviously, to prophetic Babylon. And again, verse 18, and her harlot's wages will be set apart to the Lord. It will not be stored up or hoarded, but her gain will become sufficient food and choice attire for those who dwell in the presence of the Lord. Ezekiel chapters 26 through 28 give you an overview in regards to Tyre. Again, remember, Tyre is designated as a type of prophetic Babylon. To give us some descriptions regards to that which is associated with her. Verse 1, now came about in the 11th year, in the first of the month, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying to the prophet Ezekiel. Verse 2, son of man, because Tyre has said concerning Jerusalem, aha, the gateway of the peoples is broken. It is open to me. I shall be filled now that she is laid waste. Therefore, thus said the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and I will bring up many nations against you as the sea brings up its waves. Verse 4, they will destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers. Her economic and military powers. And I will scrape her debris from her and make her a bare rock. Verse 5, she will be a place for the spreading the nets in the midst of the sea. For I have spoken, declares the Lord God, and she will become spoil for the nations. Also her daughters who are on the mainland will be slain by the sword, and they will know that I am the Lord. Verse 7, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I will bring upon Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses, chariots, cavalry, and a great army. He will slay your daughters on the mainland with the sword, and will make siege walls against you, cast a mount against you, and raise up a large shield against you. In the historical circumstances when that occurred, and there again you have your associations with Babylon. Verse 9, in the blow of the battering rams, he will direct against your walls, and with his axes he will break down your towers. Verse 10, because of the multitude of his horses, the dust raised by them will cover you, and your walls make it the noise of cavalry and wagons and chariots when he enters your gates as men enter a city that is breached. With the hooves of his horses, he will trample all your streets. He will slay your people with a sword, and your strong pillars will come down to the ground. 12, also they will make a spoil of your riches and a prey of your merchandise. Break down your walls, destroy your pleasant houses, throw your stones and your timbers and your debris to the water, noting all of her possessions, all of her monetary and physical wealth and accoutrements that are associated with her as a nation. Verse 13, so I will silence the sound of your songs, the sound of your hearts will be heard no more. Verse 14, I will make you a bare rock. You will be a place for the spreading of nets. You will be built no more, for I, the Lord, have spoken and declares the Lord God. Verse 15, thus says the Lord God to Tyre, shall not the coastland shake at the sound of your fall, when the wounded groan, when the slaughter occurs in your midst? Then all the princes of the sea will go down from their thrones, remove their robes, and strip off their embroidered garments. They will clothe themselves with trembling. They will sit on the ground trembling every moment and be appalled at you. Verse 17, and they will take up a lamentation over you and say to you, how you have perished, O inhabited one, from the seas, O renowned city. She was mighty on the sea, she and her inhabitants, who imposed her terror on all her inhabitants. Military and economic might. She is a powerhouse. Now the coastlands will tremble on the day of your fall, verse 18. Yes, the coastlands which are by the sea will be terrified at your passing. Verse 19, for thus saith the Lord God, and I shall make you a desolate city, like the cities which are not inhabited. And I shall bring up the deep over you, and the great waters will cover you. Then I will bring you down with those who go down to the pit, to the people of old. And I will make you dwell in the lower parts of the earth, like the ancient waste places, with those who go down to the pit, so that you will not be inhabited. But I shall set glory in the land of the living. I will bring terrors on you, and you will be no more. Though you will be sought, you will never be found again, declares the Lord God. Verse 27, chapter 27. Continuing on in regards to Tyre. Moreover, the Lord, where the Lord came to me, saying, and you, son of man, take up a lamentation over Tyre. Again, Tyre, as I said, was in the Middle East. It would be in the location of present-day Lebanon, basically, in that area. And say to Tyre, who dwells at the entrance to the sea, merchants of the peoples to many coastlands. Thus says the Lord God, O Tyre, you have said, I am perfect in beauty. We had what's the chant that's been for all the years, we had the best government in the world, the best kind of government there is in the world. Well, it's nice, and we can appreciate it, but it's not the best. The best is having a perfectly righteous king that rules over the world. But anyway, again, you think about it, you got one king, God has to kill one person, and bingo, the throne changes, the rule changes, and you can have another personality in there. See, not in our system. For your borders are in the heart of the seas. Just like we're sandwiched between the Atlantic and Pacific. Your builders have perfected your beauty, the architectural that is found in our country. In verse 5, they have made all your planks of fir trees from Sinar. They have taken a cedar from Lebanon to make a mast for you. Of oaks from Bashan, they have made your oars. With ivory, they have laid your deck, boxwood from the coastlands of Cyprus. Even though it was politically incorrect. You don't get it. Ivory, you know, ivory trade is illegal. Anyway, at least somebody's made it that way. It's because governments and the really wealthy aren't getting their hands on all of it, so they've got to shut it down for the little man that does go out and try to get some of it. You know. And again, I'm not saying about preserving and being good steward of things. But these same damn people are the ones that are eroding their environment, the animals' environments, and all these other things. I mean, the hypocrisy is just as deep as the stuff they're wading in. But anyway, verse 7, your sail was a fine embroidered linen from Egypt, so that it became a distinguishing mark. Your awning was blue and purple. That's what they're renowned for in their manufacturing. Yawning was blue and purple from the coastlands of Elisha. Ate the inhabitants of Sidon and Arvad were your rowers. Your wise men, O Tyre, were aboard. They were your pilots. The elders of Gebel and their wise men were with you repairing your seams. All the ships at sea and their sailors were with you in order to deal in your merchandise. A huge fleet of the best, see, to make that money. Verse 10, Persia and Lud and Put, that's Iran, Libya, there's two of them, Persia and Lud, Put. Lud is kind of unknown where they may fall in, who that is present day. We're in your army. Your men of war. They hung shield and helmet in you. They set forth your splendor. The sons of Arvad and your army were on your walls all around. And the Gamadim were in your towers. The the best soldiers, etc., the best of the best. They hung their shields on your walls all around. They protected your beauty. Be like the medals that we identify in regards to those who are heroes and things of that nature today in our own military. 12, Tarshish was your customer because of the abundance of all kinds of wealth, silver, iron, tin, and lead. They paid for your wares, Juvan, Tubal, and Meshech. They were your traders, the lives of men and vessels of bronze. They paid for your merchandise. Those from Beth Togarma gave horses and war horses and mules for your wares. 15, the sons of Dedan were your traders. Many coastlands were your market. Ivory, tusk, and ebony they brought as your payment. Aram was your customer because of the abundance of your goods. They paid for your wares with emeralds, purple, embroidered work, fine linen, coral, and rubies. Judah and the land of Israel, they were your traders with the wheat of Minnith, cakes, honey oil, and balm. They paid for your merchandise. In other words, it's giving you an overview of our international, the international involvement in regards to the economy that is that personifies Tyre in this regard. 18, Damascus was your customer because of the abundance of your goods, because of the abundance of all kinds of wealth, because of the wine that fell in and white wood, wool, bed in the judgment, paid for your wares from Uzal, wrought iron, cassia, and sweet cane were among your merchandise. All this stuff. 20, Dedan traded with you in saddlecloths for riding. Arabia and all the princes of Kedar, they were your customers for lambs, rams, and goats. For these were your customers, the traders of Sheba and Rama. They traded with you. They paid for your wares with the best of all kinds of spices, of all kinds of precious stones and gold. Haran, Cana, Eden, the traders of Sheba, Ashur, and Kilmad traded with you. They traded with you in choice garments and clothes of blue, and embroidered work and in carpets of many colors and tightly wound cords, which were among your merchandise. 25, the ships of Tarshish were the carriers for your merchandise, and you were filled and were very glorious in the heart of the seas. Your roars have brought you into great waters. The east wind has broken you in the heart of the seas. Your wealth, your wares, your merchandise, your sailors and your pilots, your repairers of seams, your dealers in merchandise, and all your men of war who are in you, with all your company that is in your midst, will fall into the heart of the seas on the day of your overthrow. With the sound of the cry of your pilots, the pasture lands will shake. Verse 29, and all who handle the oar, the sailors and all the pilots of the sea will come down from their ships. They will stand on the land. They will make their voice heard over you and cry bitterly. They will cast dust on their heads. They will wallow in ashes. 31, also, they will make themselves bald for you and gird themselves with sackcloth, and they will weep for you in bitterness of soul with bitter mourning. 32, moreover, in their wailing they will take up a lamentation for you and lament over you, who is like Tyre, like her who is silent in the midst of the sea. When your wares went out from the seas, you satisfied many peoples. With the abundance of your wealth and your merchandise, you enriched the kings of earth. Now that you are broken by the seas and the depths of the waters, your merchandise and all your company have fallen in the midst of you. Verse 35, all the inhabitants of the coastlands are appalled at you. Your kings are horribly afraid. They are troubled in countenance. Merchants among the peoples hiss at you. You have become terrified, and you will be no more. And then 28, the word of the Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, say to the leader of Tyre, that'd be our president today, or then, at the time, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you have said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of gods, in the heart of the seas, yet you are a man and not God. Although you make your heart like the heart of God, behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that is a match for you. By your wisdom and understanding, you acquired riches for yourselves. You acquired gold and silver for your treasures. By your great wisdom, by your trade, you have increased your riches. And your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have made your heart like the heart of God. In other words, the arrogance. The arrogance comes from as a supposed genius of intellectual power, that comes from these types. A lot of people think because they have a lot of physical goods that somehow makes them better and smarter than anybody else around them, not recognizing that God's in control of all that. Believer and unbeliever alike, He's still ultimately in control. Verse 7, therefore, behold, I will bring strangers upon you, most ruthless of the nations. They will draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor. Hack in and get your secrets. Identity theft. Rob your technology. Sell it twice as cheap. Whatever. Because you have made your heart like the heart of God. Therefore, verse 7 again. Therefore, behold, I'll bring strangers upon you, the most ruthless of the nations. And they will draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor. They will bring you down to the pit, and you will die the death of those who are slain in the heart of the seas. Will you still say, I am a God? In the presence of your slayer, although you are a man and not God, and in the hand of those who wound you, you will die the death of the uncircumcised, the unbeliever, by the hand of strangers, for I have spoken, declares the Lord God. And then the remainder of the chapter, which how convenient is this, is that the king of Tyre is a type of Satan, which you have prophetic satanic information that we obviously recognize in the fall of Satan. So that gives you this tie of the demeanor of the prophetic Babylon as being a type of Tyre that were end up being controlled by Satan himself in that sense. As we know, every unclean bird, all these other things that are attached to us, reflecting upon that very situation scenario. Then Revelation 18 basically validates for us, documents the affluency and the very depth of arrogance, etc., that prophetic Babylon delves into in regards to their national personality. All right, we'll pick this up Sunday. Father, thank you again for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten us to these things. In Jesus' name, amen.